Welcome to North Valley's devotional podcast for April 23rd, 2021. Today we'll be reading from Genesis 45, verses 4 through 8. Yes, I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. Don't worry or blame yourselves for what you did. God is the one who sent me ahead of you to save lives. There has already been a famine for 2 years, and for 5 more years no one will plow fields or harvest grain. But God sent me on ahead of you to keep your families alive and to save you in this wonderful way. After all, you weren't really the ones who sent me here. It was God. He made me the highest official in the king's court and placed me over all Egypt. Joseph has come to trust his brothers enough to divulge who he is, and now is making his first steps towards reconciling with them. They're still not too sure of how all this is going to go. They are, after all, in a foreign land and have just been accused of theft. Joseph is in a position of power over them, and the last time they have had an acknowledged brother-to-brother interaction with Joseph, they were selling him into slavery. The storytellers finally show their hand in the narratives they've been developing. They make a stab at the theology of all the events that have happened. Joseph says that this was God's idea from the beginning, even the brothers acting in violence, jealousy, and self-sacrifice. Look, it all worked out, Joseph says, and because God knew that the famine was coming, God has put Joseph in a position of power to be able to save them all. This all makes sense, as long as we're willing to vapidly accept all of the pain and hurt, not to mention the troubling loose threads surrounding image of God that has come with it. Yes, it works out, but it also works out at the expense of a decade or more of broken family systems, and Joseph encountering intense suffering. Are we willing to pin the brothers' horrific action on God? What does that say about God, or at the very least about the means God is willing to use if selling brothers into slavery can be attributed to God's intent? Of course, there is an alternative in understanding what Joseph is saying. Perhaps Joseph isn't suggesting that this was God's best plan or original intent, but that God was at work through the mess. God was able to redeem all of this. All of the pain and brokenness wasn't too much for God to transform. In a sense, the meaning we create from this is moot. In the end, God is able to shine light into the darkness, and whether that was God's original plan, or if God is redeeming the places where people have gotten off the rails, the results are the same. In another sense, it matters a lot. What responsibility do we have to live faithfully if God is controlling us without our awareness or consent? What is our responsibility to each other, or to live virtuously, if God is just going to fix it anyway? For the storytellers, these are not the main points of their narrative. The point is that God was never out of control, even if it felt like utter chaos to Jacob and his family. Grief, loss, personal misconduct, and hardship are not signs that God isn't present and active. Not every story concludes with a happily ever after, not even this one in the long run, but the continuous message is that God will be faithful to the promise that was made to each generation, from Abraham on through to Joseph. Wherever you go, I will watch over you. We're often tempted to get caught up in the theological abstraction and the questions that we honestly can't grasp. Why does God work like that? How is God orchestrating the world? But in the end, what we really need to embrace is that God will continue to journey with us and watch over us, even in, or perhaps particularly in, the times that it feels like it won't work out. Some questions for today. How can you hear God promising, "Wherever you go, I will watch over you"? How have you noticed God's love and care through hardship? How have you noticed God's presence with you over time?